Hello and welcome to The Meaning and Mystery of Marriage. I'm Father David Sizemore. I'm the pastor of St. John Newman in Sunbury and also the chaplain for St. Gabriel Radio. And I'm joined here in the studio today by Dan Timmons, who's my partner with me in all of these presentations on marriage. And we have as our special guest today, Megan Thompson, who is the youth and young adult minister at St. Matthew's in Gahanna. And she is here with us with her fiancé, Paul Baum. You can hear The Meaning and Mystery of Marriage on AM 820 Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. All the shows are archived also on stgabrielcatholicradio.com. Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the marriage day. We give you thanks for calling a man and a woman into the sacred bond of marriage, a bond of your love that is indissoluble, that is life-giving, and that leads us to a life of holiness and a life with you in heaven. We ask you to bless all those couples who are preparing for marriage and the many who will hear this broadcast who are in marriage and ask every day for your strength in this sacrament and for the joy that the sacrament brings, for your Holy Spirit too, that helps him in the good times and the bad, in richness and in health and sickness and in poverty and in all the ways, the ups and downs of married life. We ask for your grace upon them and your grace upon us this day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Dan, before we began, we talked about the importance of marriage preparation, but maybe we should recap what we've already covered in our three previous sessions.
Right, in our last three shows, we talked about marriage in the beginning, God's beautiful plan for marriage, how that plan was messed up by sin. Sin enters the world, and sin in all of our hearts, how that distorts the meaning of marriage. And then finally, how Christ came to restore God's original plan for marriage, to elevate marriage to a sacrament. Today, we're going to actually take a step back, in a way, to the wedding day, how a couple, what they say and what they do on their wedding day, how they're caught up into this great mystery of love that God had planned for us.
And before we get there, then, if the sacrament of marriage is so important, as we always say it is as Catholic Christians, as Christians in general, then one would think that good marriage preparation would be important. You know, and I think of what goes on in the professional world, you know, like with doctors and with lawyers and accountants. Don't they all get extensive marriage preparation before they actually practice their lives professionally? This is the way of the medical and the business world, and we all see the wisdom of the absolute need for good, thorough, extensive preparation for them to be able to practice professionally. But then we also see and benefit from the ways in which doctors, lawyers, and accountants and other professionals, once they receive that benefit and they begin to practice, how it affects different areas. It affects the professional, it affects the client, and it also affects others. It affects professionals. You know, they now know what they're doing. They're competent in their field. They will make the least amount of mistakes. They will know what the goal is and be able to accomplish the goal overall, you know, over the course of their professional life, but every day as they're dealing with clients. And that leads to the next one, which is the clients.
Right. In a way, marriage preparation is so much more important than professional preparation because they're only preparing for a career. In marriage, you're preparing for a vocation. When you look at yourself, Father, in seminary, how many years of preparation for the priesthood?
Too many. I don't even want to tell people.
Too many.
I'm kind of a slow person.
And yet marriage, in a way, preparation is 6-8 months and, you know, a couple meetings with a priest and a weekend. But it's supposed to be so much more than that. It's supposed to be the couple preparing together in love, which is what the church wants to promote.
So the same logic then would hold with marriage in regards to the benefits, not here a professional, but here a husband and wife. In the business world, in the medical world, this applies certainly, as you just said, much more to something that's sacred and is lifelong, this sacred reality of the sacrament of marriage. So what do you see then, Dan, as the benefits to husband and wife?
Well, they need to know what they're doing. In marriage, there's a lot of confusion out there that marriage is just about personal happiness, or even some couples say, well, it's about the happiness of my spouse. But it's actually so much more than that. What happens in marriage affects all of society. Primarily, first and foremost, the children that come from their union. And then from that, all of society, the people you come in contact with, future generations, the future of the church. And so marriage preparation is so vital.
It is. They know what they're doing after marriage preparation. They know what they're doing. They're supposed to be doing in marriage. They're competent about what marriage is and what it is not, and how to conduct themselves in a marital relationship. And I'm not just talking about how society sees that, but how God Himself sees that. And they'll accomplish the goals, overall goal of what marriage is all about, and that's holiness and getting one to heaven, but also be able to accomplish and focus on that goal from day to day. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned that children are also a beneficiary of the good marriage preparation that begins even before the day of the marriage. And I want to take you back to that whole business thing and business professionals being well-prepared, and how that helps clients. Because the clients can then trust in that business professional in their work. They know that they will get good service, they'll get their money's worth, and they'll be able to benefit directly from the work. How do you see children then benefiting from good marriage preparation of their mother and father, who are first husband and wife?
Right. Well, marriage preparation actually begins at birth, or even at conception. That's where marriage preparation begins. It's the husband and wife who model this Christian marriage for their children, who love one another, who pour out their love for their children. The children see that. They soak it in, really, and they're prepared for marriage beginning there. So that's in a way how that happens.
It happens in the Domus Ecclesiae. It happens in the home church.
Right.
Yep. And then also going back to that professional model, we say that others benefit, not just the clients who are in direct contact with the business professional, but others in society. You know, like if it's a law firm or it's a hospital or other institutions, there's so many other people that benefit across our society from good doctors and from good lawyers and from good accountants. How do you see society then in general, or even specifically, benefiting from a husband and wife who have been well prepared for marriage, let alone then how they raise their children and what they contribute to society?
Right. Well, marriage is really at the heart of society, the building block of society. Doctors, how the wonderful work they do, they're not the heart, the building block of society. The same with lawyers, the same with accountants.
Thanks be to God, lawyers are not the building block of society.
But here we have the marriage of husband and wife and their children. This, all of society is founded on this basic unit, the unit of the family. And as strong as the family is, that's how strong society is. And as strong as the family is, that's how strong our church is. So it's so vital and so important. Almost in a way, I hate to say it, even more important than the preparation for priesthood or religious life.
Well, you think about it. I mean, we're such a small percentage of the population. The majority of the population of every nation are the laity who are married, not the clergy who are celibate, you know. So they have a huge impact upon society. Yeah. Okay, we have Megan Thompson here and Paul Baum, and we want to ask you, Dan and I want to ask you, to speak about your desire for good marriage preparation.
Well, I thank you, Father, for that question. I think we're just really blessed to be getting married at St. Matthew, and though we have the desire, I think sometimes the desire is a lot more fruitful when there is a plan set in place by the parish in which you're getting married. And so St. Matthew has set it up where I mean, Father Ted Still has just prayed about this ministry and really made it so important to prepare couples for what is the profound encounter that they will receive.
I'm so glad to hear that a brother priest, you know, we have brother priests out there that are really, truly invested in good marriage prep.
Yeah, yeah. And so we have to go through a theology of marriage class. We have to meet with marriage mentors who are marriage mentors. I think they were made for us. So we've been really blessed with that.
How often do you meet with them?
We only have to meet with them like 5 times, I think, but we just want to be best friends with them. So that's been good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And we have been doing natural family planning, which for anyone who is getting married, I just strongly encourage that because it has changed my heart in so many different ways and has really led us to be so much deeper in our love for each other. So we've been doing that, and we've been meeting with Father Sill and just talking to a lot of our friends. But I think Paul has a different perspective, and he's helped us just as a couple in a way that the church didn't, because he's seen so many people, some of his friends who desired really good marriage preparation. And so he's been just like being the leader of our relationship and just calling us to deeper prayer. So I'm sure he would speak to that.
Yeah. And I think that is a good point. It really is about how much you put into it as well. So we desire good marriage formation because we want our marriage to be founded on Jesus Christ. And we want it to be founded on Jesus Christ because we know that that will bring us the most happiness as a married couple, but it also is the thing. He is the person who will make our marriage last. And in that, we can do all these great things. We can meet with our priests, so we can listen to classes and all these different things. But ultimately, it comes down to how receptive we are to those things and how much effort I think we want to put into that, just like a doctor or a lawyer needs to not simply show up to class, but they need to be receptive to what they're learning. And the best doctors and the best lawyers are the ones who invest so much of or everything they have into that skill. So in a similar way, it's really about practicing investing in your relationship, but not investing in the way that I think so much of our culture or the world would tell us to invest, which would be primarily, oh, just have sex or live together or just do fun things together. It really is about this special formation period, which is really hard, actually, of developing a friendship intentionally around Jesus Christ in an even more intense way than you would if you're just dating or if you're just friends, and allowing that to build a foundation for the day of your marriage. Because ultimately, we have no idea what we're doing. We're not married yet. But to not come to an understanding of that and to not try to go beyond the constraints of simple parish formation, it's kind of a shame.
Well, Paul, I definitely think, just listening to you briefly here, I think you do know what you're doing, because building anything starts with the foundation. And so you said that so well.
I think one of the keys, as you said, is being open to the Holy Spirit, being open to this great gift that the church has. I think a lot of people think the church sets forth all these negative rules and things for people to follow. The church just wants, the church knows how to make marriage last, how to make marriage a joyful celebration, how to make your wedding and your entire life together joyful. The church has a blueprint for that, and it's not a negative thing. As you said, the natural family planning, what a great blessing this is for married couples who practice that. They see that joy in their married lives.
We're going to jump into the marriage rite and the traditions that surround it, including the questions for intentions, the vows, and even the consummation. So let's just briefly cover the scene of what happens on the day of marriage. There's a man and a woman, and actually they're the ministers of the sacrament, not the priest and not the deacon. The priest or the deacon, they preside over the marriage as a sacred gathering. And of course, there are family and their friends that are there, and all of them, not just, you know, the traditional two witnesses, are witnessing this event. And they're there to pray for you and to be examples for you, and then to be with you for the rest of your life as prayers and example and support for you. They're just not, you know, the drinking buddies from college years. You know, we should choose wisely who we have at our weddings, because it says something about who we are.
Right, and having marriage in a church, in a Catholic church, we're in the real presence of Christ, mm-hmm. and also surrounded by all the angels and saints. So this is, you're sealing this covenant in the midst of the heavenly host,
which is just mind-boggling. Yes, it's a Catholic ceremony. It's a sacred ceremony. It's a Christian ceremony, and this then is the context of the union of male and female into the sacred bond with God. We want to ask you also, Paul and Megan, to speak about why then you want your marriage in a sacred context and in the sacrament of marriage, rather than out in some destination wedding on a beach or a mountain, which is beautiful. And rather than just a civil marriage. And what do you see as the difference between the two?
Sacramental grace. And it really comes down to that. I was actually thinking about this earlier today and getting ready for all of this and thinking that, what is the difference between, you're saying, those two things? The destination wedding or the wedding within the context of Holy Mother Church. And it is that, sacramental grace. And that, I think, is what has been the most awe-inspiring, humbling, challenging thing for us, is that we are the ministers of sacramental grace in the only way that we can as lay people in our lives.
And Megan, what about the difference then between it being a civil service and being a church service? Why are you choosing a church service?
Why wouldn't you? No. I think there's just too much goodness. The church knows what she's doing. She is our mother, and she gives us everything that we need. And the Lord has given us the sacraments specifically so we can go to heaven. He is giving us the grace of the sacraments. And then not only to receive the sacrament of marriage, but then to stand with Paul when he is then my husband and receive Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. I can't even like think about that. It makes me just want to cry.
I have thought about something along those lines too, you know, and you're going to be married at St. Matthew's, but you know, maybe one day you'll be raising your family in another state or something. And, but you'll still be in a Catholic church and you'll still walk down that center aisle, you know, and you'll still receive the same Lord in the Eucharist. And how, bringing all that together at the beginning of your marriage, rather than, you know, going out to Hilton Head, which you might get to once a year. And you might have nice memories of that. You remember when we were married out on the beach? But when you go into a church every Sunday and remember that you were married in, as you said, Holy Mother Church, it's a constant reminder to you.
Absolutely.
Of the sacredness of this event. Yeah.
And if I can speak one more thing to that, I think it really captures too, for us, the mystery of marriage, which is that it takes the temporal love. We're not, eventually we're going to die, but it takes that love and weaves it into, with our Lord, into eternity, and that we're able to enter in this love that we want to last forever, truly does. And it's not, doesn't just last as a marriage, but it gets transformed and glorified when we hopefully enter heaven one day together.
Yes. Everyone, you're listening to The Meaning and Mystery of Marriage. I'm Father David Sizemore, and I'm joined in the studio today by Dan Timmons, and we have as our special guests Megan Thompson and Paul Baum. And you can hear The Meaning and Mystery of Marriage on AM 820, Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. You can also catch them in the archives on stgabrielradio.com. Let's move now into the questions for your intentions, which happen right at the beginning of the rite of marriage in the context of the ceremony of the Mass at the church. The Catholic wedding vows are usually preceded by these three questions from a priest. He mentions your name, he addresses you, and he says, "Have you come here freely and without reservation to give yourself to each other in marriage?" And what that speaks about most succinctly is the necessity of freedom. You know, this has to be a free act of the man and the woman. The next question is, will you honor each other for as man and wife for the rest of your lives. And this speaks about respecting and the willingness to live out the identity and the role of husband and wife in the marital bond. And then the next one, the third one, is about...
Finally, will you accept children lovingly from God and bring them up according to the law of Christ and his church? And this is about openness to life and openness to raising your children within the context of the church.
And then after we do that, we go right into the vows. And Dan and I thought it would be kind of fun to do a little mock wedding for the remainder of this session.
We have a priest and two witnesses here, so
we have
be
a priest
careful.
And two witnesses. Okay. So just do not respond, "I do," okay? Because then you won't be married at St. Matthew's. You'll be married right here. Okay, so the priest then turns to you and he says, "Megan and Paul, since it is your intention to enter into marriage, join your right hands and declare your consent before God and his church." And I just want to point out real quickly what's going on here. The right hand has been traditionally the hand that we use for oath taking. You know, like you put the right hand on the Bible in a courtroom, and it has a long history of that, that it was both secular and religious. So there's an oath that's about to take place here. And you look at each other and you're facing one another, so you look into one another's eyes. And there's this consent that happens between God and his church, between the minister and all of the men and women that are there, and not just the men and women that are physically there, but, you know, as Dan was talking earlier, all the saints and the angels, because wherever Christ is, all those who dwell in him are there. And then the priest turns to the groom and he says, "Paul, do you take Megan to be your wife?" And then he has you repeat these words: "I promise to be true to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and health. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life." And then he repeats the same things to the bride. And what does this mean, Dan?
This is about lifelong love, being faithful to one another. And this is actually what our hearts desire deep within our hearts. We desire this lifelong bond of love, love without end, which ultimately can only be fulfilled in Christ Jesus, but which our marriage here on earth is an image of.
We'll ask, how about Megan and Paul, give us your thoughts then on why you would like to be in a lifelong union of love and why that's important to you as a Christian couple.
I think it's important because there's no other way. And I know that sounds convoluted, but the nature of love, as you're speaking to, Dan, is just that. It's commitment. The nature of love calls us as self-gift to give ourselves totally to each other. There's this beautiful way in which Megan and I have already, without being married, have come to really seep into every part of each other's lives. And that is just natural by being in love. So it seems to just make sense. We see all of the pain and the suffering that I know from people who they're not married and they break up, or people who get divorced. And pain is a signal too. Pain is God's voice saying, this isn't right. Something's not right. So I think that there just seems to be no other way, just on basic observance of,
yeah, it's certainly the way of history, you know, and it's certainly the way of our Christian faith, and for us as Catholics, God is faithful and eternal, and so is this bond supposed to be. Well, there's some other prayers. There's a blessing, a nuptial blessing over the couple. There's prayers of the faithful. If it's in the context of the Mass, there's the Eucharist and the joining of Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away our sins, and you know, you enter into that marriage on that clean slate and in the presence of the Lord and the Lord dwelling in you. But then you go into you know, the reception afterwards, and then the marriage, the night, you know, the marriage night, the consummation night. And that speaks of, this is the way I see it, that the body counts. Our words mean very little if they're not followed by action. A contract to build someone a home means very little unless the builder actually builds the home and the owner actually pays the money and moves into the home. And the same goes then with marriage. We're promising to give ourselves totally to the other person.
Right. And it's that union, that physical union of husband and wife, actually renews and expresses those wedding vows. I promise to be true to you in good times and bad, sickness and health. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life. That's why, you know, when couples have sex outside of that marital union, they're actually speaking a lie with their bodies.
And it's also why it's not just a consummation on the night of the wedding, but we reconsummate ourselves every time a husband and wife come together in the act of lovemaking. It's the body re-enacting what was said on the day of the marriage, that I give myself totally, faithfully, freely, and fruitfully to you. We just got about a minute left here, and we want to ask Megan and Paul, why waiting until marriage to consummate your wedding vows is important to you?
This should be like an easy answer. Also, when we're talking about this, Paul's giving me a really goofy look. I think we're both blushing the whole time. But I think that this, I mean, John Paul II talks about a total, faithful, free, and fruitful love. And you see that most explicitly in this consummation of marriage. And so to be able to like wait for that love that is perfect, not a love that is lesser, not this love that the world tries to convince us is good or authentic, but the love of the Trinity, that we get to enter into this communion of persons is an incredible and humbling undertaking. So we are waiting because we want Trinitarian and everlasting love.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. Praise God, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Trinitarian love, which is total, faithful, free, and fruitful. And we pray that we all get the opportunities in our different vocations of life to be able to live out a total love, first for you and then for others, one that's faithful, one that's free, and one that is fruitful. And we pray especially today for Megan and Paul that the Lord bless them on their marriage day and bless all those couples who are preparing. Lord, put them in the path of good marriage preparation so that for the rest of their lives, they, their children, and society might benefit from their love. And we ask a blessing on all married couples. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Goodbye. And the sun does not appear. I will be here. If in the dark we lose sight of love,